The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now on this week's Kids Clinic, as the back to school chaos is about to begin, we're going to look at how you can best manage the cost of it all. CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul, Paul Merriman, joins me now. Paul, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, oh God, the costs on poor parents when they kind of get to this type of the time of the year is significant, no matter what age your children are, whether it's primary, secondary or university. So let's split it out. Typically, when you're talking about a child going back into primary or secondary school, what costs are you looking at? Is there a roundabout figure?
I think there's a roundabout figure between 350 and 500 is the absolute minimum you're going to get away with for primary school students anyway. And then you're up towards 500 to 1,000 euro for secondary year students. And then for third level, if your kids are going to college outside of your own county or outside your own hometown, it can be anywhere up to 10,000 per year when you consider rent, etc., being considered, especially if they go outside of Ireland, if they go across to the UK, for argument's sake, and you look at the rent. So it can be a massive burden on people. I suppose for today, talking about this for parents, we want to really talk about how kids and having kids and the cost of kids should really put into your overall financial plan, and trying to prepare for anything financially as early as possible is a really, really good idea. And having a good grasp of the cost and not kind of estimating the cost. Now, I know I've thrown estimates out because I don't know all the listener situations, but yeah, finding out where you want your kids to go to school. Is a public school? Is a private school? Do you hope to go to third level? To be fair, if you have a newborn, if your child starting school or is still in primary school, you still have probably to go to 10 to 15, maybe even 18 years to plan for third level education, which is sufficient enough. You don't need to do an awful lot more to maybe invest the children's allowance, and you will probably have third level costs sorted. The problem is most people don't think that way when the baby's born. They think about that the year before they go to college and it's too late. So yeah, early preparation here is key. It really is, like everything when it comes to finance.
Look, we talk about free education. We're very lucky in this world, you know, in this country to have so much on offer to us, but there is no such thing as free education anymore. Going through those figures there, that's just for one child. If you have a couple of children like that, the costs are a very significant part of your annual budget. So you'd imagine that people are building that into their annual overall consideration, but that's not always the way.
No, it's not always the way.
So if it isn't, or you know, something that you do, what practices should you start to try and get into if that's all ahead of you?
Yeah, if it's all ahead of you, it does surprise me. You hear a lot when people say, God, school's coming around, they got kind of caught off the hop, especially if you have a couple of kids and they're in school before, it happens every September. So trying to, again, I said, early preparation, even if it's a year in advance or 6 months in advance, you're putting a few euro aside on a monthly basis, that can all help ease the massive burden that comes come September. It doesn't have to be hundreds a week or hundreds a month, even 5 euro a week or 10 euro a week. Anything put aside is going to help you. If you found yourself going into school this week or next week and you're underprepared, reaching out, speaking to the school, let them know you're under financial pressure is the first place to go. They're going to give you a list of all the supports that are available to you from the local community, local charity, the likes of St. Vincent de Paul, and then also looking at the government supports as well for the back to school costs of uniform, shoes, etc. So again, you can get them on gov.ie. So trying to use all the available supports that are there, getting involved in the school's second hand programme for the uniforms. They're all another kind of small enough money in the overall scheme of things, but if you have a few kids, they all add up substantially, especially over 10 or 18 years or 16 years. So it is important you look at wherever you can find support, grab it. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. We've had a massive cost of living crisis here in Ireland over the last over the last 24 months, and also you've seen a lot of redundancies as well. There's no shame in it. There's a lot of people going through it as well. If you are hitting financial hardship, it's really important you speak to schools. They have programs, they have charities that can help and will help. And that goes through all stages, primary, secondary, and even at third level, they'll help you split the cost and apply for grants, etc. So it is really important to speak about it.
Yeah, and it's very important that we emphasise it isn't just about yourself saving for this. It's always it's also about reducing costs where you can. Like on that books scheme that you talked about, there's a lot of swapping within schools that can go on. It's not just inter-family things. And that hasn't always been the case in the past, but most schools do offer something like that.
They do, yeah. Especially when it comes to the uniforms, if you have tracksuits. They're a big one for the tracksuits that you have to buy for the kids. They're doing PE, etc. So they do the kind of second-hand swaps. They're swaps. You put your uniform in, you get someone else. I think it's a really, really good system. And that's really come out over the last 10 years, I suppose. And like I said, Roy, it wasn't there before. But yeah, I think it's schools are becoming a little bit more aware. The other thing to say, though, with schools is, if you get a bill for a voluntary contribution, it is voluntary. Don't feel under pressure. And yeah, I really urge any schools that are listening or principals that are listening to reword those letters a little bit better, because they can.
Parents often feel obliged
100%.
To. Because if they don't do it, will little Johnny or little Mary be suffering as a result? So your advice is what on that?
Say no. It's a voluntary contribution. And, you know, education is supposed to be okay to pay for that. I'm a really lucky in this country, by the way, so I'm not having a pop. But yeah, I mean, schools are underfunded still. And they do need a lot of support, but there's parents in situations that can provide that support, and that's what they bank on. But like I said, for sending out reminder letters or putting any type of pressure on somebody to pay a voluntary contribution, I think it should be one letter, one communication, only a year allowed, and then that's it. There's no reminder sent or anything like that, because it just can really put people under financial pressure, and that's not fair. It's up to the parents that can afford to make a contribution to make one of those. They can substantially do it if they want. But yeah, you need to keep an eye. You don't need to be applying pressure to parents, even if it's only 1 or 2% of the parents. They don't deserve it, and I think that's a big thing for parents.
Yeah, they're under an awful lot of pressure already. Yeah,
exactly. And it is voluntary, so you can't say no.
Before we move on to talking about the university for a little second, I wanted to stay with this issue. Do you see, Paul, in your day to day interaction with parents and that people have to actually borrow, take loans out to cover the cost of school?
Yeah, I have seen it in the past. To be honest with you, not so much now. I did see it in the past. You will see a couple of parents having to do it, or a couple of parents, when they come in for financial planning consultation, maybe have that credit union loan still outstanding. It's typically for third level, though, when it gets to third level and the kids are going maybe to a different county or a different country, or they haven't got the course they wanted to go into and they're going to more of a private college. That they're the one thing that catch parents on the hop at third level. For secondary school and primary school, we see it the odd time, but not that common. They might have a credit card, like I said, or a credit union loan. And the problem for that, and we tried to coach people and do a financial planning consultation, trying to break that vicious circle. And it might take you 2 or 3 years to do it, but it's again putting the plan in place now to keep your costs down, maybe save or invest a couple of quid on a monthly basis. And then maybe in 3 years' time, you'll have enough to break it, where you have enough to put the 3 kids through school. But try and think of it that way and use a financial planner or a consultation to get yourself in the position in the future that you're not going through the next 10 or 12 years on that merry-go-round, yes, stress every July, August, back into borrowing from the credit union, paying them back, or credit card, even worse. So it's trying to acknowledge, yeah, look, I'm not actually prepared for school. This is the 3rd year, 4th year, 8th year, whatever it is that's happened. I'd love to be in a situation next year or the year after where I have this well prepared for. And that's sometimes where the kind of more the coaching aspect of financial planning will come into play, rather than the hard, let's invest, let's look at pensions and tax and all the better stuff.
That it can actually take you out of a cycle that you're in.
It's trying to get out of a cycle, yeah.
Finally, Paul, we could probably do a whole segment on universities now, but we want to talk about future-proofing your family and planning ahead for that. The SUSE grant applications are closed for this year, but what about next year?
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, leave the SUSE grants too late. Despite, I must say, I think the SUSE grant system has done a really good job in promoting this, but a lot of parents and kids still get caught in the hop despite their publications in schools and universities. But for the SUSE grant, you don't have to have your child's leaving cert results to apply for the grant or have your college placement.
I think a lot of people are just not aware of that.
I think a lot of people are waiting for CEO to come out next week, yes, before they apply for SUSE, and they're not going to get it at this stage, I don't think, unless it's an emergency application. So just be very careful that if you are planning for next year, your kids are going into 6th year this year, make sure that, you know, as soon as the grant system opens next year, keep an eye on SUSE.ie and make sure you're applying for the grants well in advance. And there is a kind of priority service they offer as well, that they'll open up a little bit earlier as well, so trying to get into the priority one as well. All the rules are on SUSE.ie and all the kind of the incomes that are considered on whether you apply or not. But also the school or the colleges themselves offer favourable payment plans as well for parents that might get the SUSE grant or even only get part funded, and they will be able to you know, put your payments over a quarterly basis, monthly basis, and help you as much as possible. There is, again, sometimes I think when it comes to money in Ireland, we're still not that, you know, brave, especially when it's a problem with money. But as soon as you bury your head in the sand, it becomes worse, much worse, especially for kids stuff, because you feel like you have to give it your kids.
It's
an emotional thing that parents carry from the day they're born. But please just speak up, talk to somebody, talk to the college, let them know what the situation is, and they will definitely try and help you as much as they can.
Well, look, lots of sage advice in there as always from Paul. Paul, thank you very much for coming in to us today. That was Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.